shortly after, you got the picture of what happened here? 50 years after they become so powerful, William Attire writes their history and said they didn't start till 1118, four knights went down and said, Sir King and Sir Patriarch, we want to protect the pilgrims, nine of them. There were more than nine roads. Being tough stuff if you were on the wrong road, my friend. No record of them ever protecting anybody. Closer analysis reveals that in 1104, 14 years earlier, one of the richest lords of Europe, the Count of Champagne, had a conclave with some high-ranking nobles, at least one of which had just returned from Jerusalem. Shortly after the conclave, the Count of Champagne departed the Holy Land himself. Stayed there 4 years, returned in 1108, 1114, 4 years before the place was supposed to be formed. He's planning another trip. His bishop writes him and says, I understand you're going to join the militia of Christ. Nine of the original ones are interrelated and connected. Three of them are vassals of the Count of Champagne. He's going to pledge allegiance to that vassal. And they're intimately connected to Saint Bernard, who has one of the poorest orders, close to bankruptcy. They undergo a dazzling change of fortune. Within the next few years, after 1112, they have a half a dozen abbeys. By 1153, there were 300. St. Bernard founded 69. The extraordinary growth directly parallels the order of the temple. The Templars and St. Bernard's order are growing at the same time. One of the co-founders of the Templars was St. Bernard's uncle, André de Montbard. Let's review it again. 1104, the Count of Champagne departed for the Holy Land after meeting with certain nobles, one of whom was connected with André de Montbard. 1112, André de Montbard's nephew, St. Bernard, joined the Cistercian order. In 1114, the Count of Champagne departed on a second journey to the Holy Land, intending to join the Order of the Temple, allegedly by William Attire, not yet founded, but in fact already co-founded by his own vassal, together with André de Montbard, which is the bishop in the letter referred to, attests, was already in existence. And in 1115, the Count of Champagne returned to Europe, having been gone for less than a year, donated land for St. Bernard's Abbey of Clairvaux, whose abbot was André de Montbard's nephew. In the years that followed, namely St. Bernard, both the Cistercian and the Templars, St. Bernard's order and André de Montbard's became immensely wealthy and enjoyed phases of phenomenal growth. Now suppose that something was discovered in the Holy Land, either by accident or more probably design, something of immense import, which aroused the interest of some of Europe's most influential noblemen. Suppose this discovery involved directly or indirectly a great deal of potential wealth, as well, perhaps, as something else, something that had to be kept secret. Something that could only be divulged to a small number of high-ranking lords. And suppose that this discovery was reported and discussed at that conclave at 1104 when a representative came from Jerusalem and the Count of Champagne called it together. Because immediately thereafter, the Count of Champagne departed for the Holy Land himself, perhaps to verify personally what he had heard, or more probably to implement some course of action, the foundation, for example, of what subsequently would become the Militia of Christ, the Order of the Temple. In 1114, groundwork laid. The Templars were established with the Count of Champagne playing some crucial role, sending at least three of them as his own vassals, probably the guiding spirit and the sponsor. By 1115, money was already flowing back to Europe and into the coffers of the Cistercians. who under St. Bernard, from their new position of strength, endorsed and imparted credibility and got the Council of Troyes to permanently set up the fledgling order of the temple that previously had simply been called the Militia of Christ. Under Bernard, the Cistercians attained a spiritual ascendancy in Europe, and you'll find them connected with Ireland. Under Hugues de Payen and André de Montbar, the Templars attained a military and administrative ascendancy in the Holy Land that quickly spread back to Europe, as we've just seen. Behind the growth of both orders loomed the shadowy presence of an uncle and a nephew, as well as the wealth, influence, and patronage of the Count of Champagne. These three individuals constitute a vital link. They're like markers breaking the surface of history, indicating something beneath. But these three men alone didn't do it. But these three are the telltale revealers of some conspiratorial plan going on. To bring this about with papal blessing, with the necessary nobles gathered to set it up, an organization was needed which would presuppose a third and secret order behind the known and documented orders of St. Bernard's Cistercian order that became the richest and most powerful spiritual order in Europe, and the temple that became the powerful international organization and military force that they became. What could that third power be? We'll see, won't we? What might they have found in the Holy Land? And what might the Templars, along with St. Bernard and the Count of Champagne have been privy that made St. Bernard the spiritual force and the Count of Champagne the money and military force? What might they have been privy? At the end of their history, the Templars kept inviolate the secret of their treasure's whereabouts. You all know that, don't you? When Philippe arrived at Paris, their secret treasure had been taken. Well, if the treasure were simply financial, bullion, for example, it wouldn't have been necessary for Jacques de Molay to send the order out when Philip gave his order to destroy him, to destroy all records. It's just money, you know, you just move the money. The implication is the Templars had something else in their custody, something so precious that not even torture could wring it out of their followers. Wealth alone could not have prompted such absolute unanimous secrecy. Whatever it was... Was it related to their attitude toward Jesus? In October 1307, when they were arrested by King Philippe throughout France, the Templars of at least one preceptory slipped unscathed through the king's net. Now we've summarized the Templars. When they were destroyed by King Philippe, at least One preceptory, lodge, headquarters, and association of Templars, unscathed, escaped King Philip's arrest. Who were they? The preceptory of Bézout, directly adjacent to Rennes, Le Chateau. How and why did they escape? Well, to answer that question, we've got to examine their activities in the vicinity of the zoo, Rennes Le Chateau. we're getting back close to the priest, aren't we? In 1153, a nobleman of the region, a nobleman with Cathar sympathies, became the fourth Grand Master of the Order of the Temple. His name was a great lady of Meraclea was loved by a Templar, a lord of Zidon, but she died in her youth and on the night of her burial. This wicked lover crept to the grave, dug up her body, and violated it. Then a voice from the void bade him return in 9 months' time, or he would find a son. He obeyed the injunction and at the appointed time opened the grave again and found a head on the leg bones of the skeleton, skull and crossbones. The same voice bade him, quote, and that's where we were. The same voice bade him, quote, you don't seem very enthused. The same voice bade him, quote, the same voice bade him, quote, the same voice bade him. And what we got to figure out is what is quoted. That's what we're looking for. The same. I just want to know that we're all together. The same voice bade him quote. Well, it didn't tell him to quote anything. The quote is to show what the voice said. Got that? The same voice bade him. Now, the voice didn't say quote. The quotes are put here so you'll know what the voice said. The same voice bade him. You suppose after 9 months he remembered the sound of the same voice? The same voice bade I guess that's Old English, bade. That means he said something, okay. The same voice, bade. Where do you suppose the voice was coming from? Out of the ground or void? Doesn't say that. First time it said the voice was from the void. It doesn't identify the placement this time. There's no place it says, son. It could have come out of the void by now. The same, it's the same voice, but not necessarily from the same place. Is that accurate or not? The same voice. You suppose it was from the void? The same voice bade him quote. Now this time we won't say quote because the voice didn't say quote. Right? Quoting from the void. No, it doesn't say the void. The same voice. Are you properly angry now? The same, you know, I don't normally stop in the same place twice. Let's do something different for a change. Just stop at the same place. The same voice bade him, quote, let's just stop right there. No, I don't want to do that. It's unkind. Just unkind. They lost the place. Oh. The same voice bade him, quote. No, we weren't going to say quote. The same voice bade him, guard it well, for it would be the, now that's further than we went last night. Now we got two mysteries. We got three mysteries. What did the priest find? What did those Cathars carry down that cliff? What was the treasure of the Templars that made them literally cover it up by writing history and falsifying it? And what was it that is the reason for the one order section of the Templars to be spared who were stationed right there by Rennes-le-Château? Now, if we know, am I boring you?